Morning Fort McMurray, Wood Buffalo, and the rest of the world. You've tuned in to the Max City Morning Show. I am your host, Elliot Pierre. We're going to start this episode off the same way we start every episode off, with a moment of gratitude. I know that you could be doing a million other things with your time, and the fact that you spend it with us truly does mean the world to me. So thank you. On that note, Tanner, hit him with the intro.
How she caught me, loves. You're listening to the Max City Morning Show.
Hey everybody, Keith Simpson here from Norell Toyota. Just a quick chat about the wonderful community we live in here. As you guys know, we support the Oil Barons. We've joined the Drive-In Movie Theater. We're involved in the marathon here in Fort McMurray, and make sure we're taking care of the kids and all the local businesses, all the local charities, and all the local foundations, guys. That's what makes this community such an amazing place to live.
And we are back. Big shout out to Norell Toyota, our title sponsor. We do appreciate your ongoing support. As everybody at home knows, I don't introduce my guests because they can do a better job at that than myself. So, sir, can you please tell everybody at home who you are and what you're about?
My name is Tanny Al, and I am the, well, now former MLA for Fort McMurray Wood Buffalo, and I'm hoping to get everyone's support so I can continue to serve in that role.
There we go. There we go. Now, first and foremost, it's a question that a lot of people have. I know I have it. Although we've spoken a few times, it's good to re-jog the memory. What does an MLA do?
The member of the Legislative Assembly. Our job is to represent our community, our region, in the legislature, as well as in the government, and ensure that, we get our fair share of love and attention from said government agencies.
Okay, there we go. So you've been the MLA for how many terms now?
This will be 2 terms now, 8 years.
So you've got a lot of experience in there now.
I certainly do. I went in pretty cold, but I've evolved come a long way.
Yeah. So a big component of it is advocating for our region. So what does that look like? I know, like, I hear that a lot. I say, oh, we're advocating, but what does that mean in practice?
It means, as an example, there's some recent announcements on road infrastructure investments. So twinning of the highway 63 north up to the bridge to nowhere. My role was to talk to the government officials in transportation and finance and other areas and ask them to put this on their list, considering that. You have to talk about the benefits to the province, as in hopefully it will enable more people to commute to Fort McMurray as opposed to flying out of province to live. And that's one of the ways in which we try to advocate, is bringing things to attention that the government could do.
Yeah.
And since then, they have announced the funding to twin that road.
That's right.
And a lot of people have actually thanked me for that one, because they do that commute, and there's issues around safety and
stuff like that. Certainly. Yeah. Okay. So, like, you're getting in there, talking to the people when you go down to Edmonton and saying, hey, this is what my region is looking for. This is what the people are saying. And you're trying to gain influence with your, I'm just going to call them coworkers because I don't know a better
term. Yeah, absolutely. But a big part of that is ensuring that you are a part of your community and you understand the issues that people are talking about.
That's right.
So certainly I don't drive up north that much, but certainly we have a lot of people that do, and they're the ones who express their concerns about that stretch of road too.
Yeah. A big component of your job, because I see it online and I see you at functions, is actually getting out there and chatting with people.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, and that's why we attend so many events, is it gives us an opportunity to engage with people and, again, to understand a lot of the issues, especially the social profits, as an example.
Right.
Whether it's like a past due place, which is our addiction center, or United Way. You know, I want to meet with all those people and ensure that I have an understanding and comprehension of what they provide, as well as the issues that they are dealing with currently.
That's right. Now, last week you were putting up signs, and I was quite happy to see you physically put up your signs.
Oh, yeah. I still consider myself a young man at 52 years old. That said, I don't mind that kind of work. I have the equipment, the drills, and the know-how, because I did get admittedly a bit of a late start, it was really important to me get those up as soon as possible.
Yeah.
And I turned out to be the first one to actually get signs
up.
You were.
You're the first one that I saw. And then over the last few days, I've seen a few more signs go up. But, yeah, I saw you out there, like, drilling, hammering up on Confederation and on Thicket Boulevard. So I thought that was pretty cool, man.
Yeah, thank you so much.
So one of the things that we were chatting about just a little bit before was what's happening up north. Can you elaborate what's happening with the indigenous population up north and some of like the things that are coming up that you're a part of?
Yeah, no, Fort Chipewyan, it's a beautiful community. If anyone gets the opportunity to visit there, it's on the Canadian Shield. And it's just, it's very isolated. The only way you get up there is obviously by boat or plane or the ice road in the winter.
That's right.
And they were having issues around education, so I was able to support them in not only getting a new school, because they had concerns around the state of the old school, mm-hmm. Which wasn't maintained very well, as well as the school authority. So they used to be part of Northland School Division.
Right.
We've petitioned for and helped them on the path towards getting to, towards developing their own school authority.
Really?
Which is fantastic. It's a first. Mm-hmm. Parkland School Association, I think, is or School Authority, pardon me, yeah. is currently helping them with that process. There's some people within there that have experience in this. So my hope is that we can that will continue on, and that they will have their own school authority.
Yeah.
And with that would be the development of, I would say, would be probably one of the premier Indigenous-based education curriculums. Mm. And that would be very interesting to see.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. That's a big one, especially because we do have so much engagement with the Indigenous population here in the Wood Buffalo area. Yeah. And so for them to get something groundbreaking like that would be pretty cool.
Oh, it'd be absolutely fantastic. Yeah. And yeah, and there's other things that we're able to accomplish for them. For example, they get these Treaty 8 medallions back in the late 1800s
okay.
that were gifted to them. And somehow the Athabasca Chipewyan's medallion got in the possession of the provincial government. And was actually in the Royal Alberta Museum. We're able to petition for and get that returned to them, despite what some of the bureaucrats wanted.
That's fantastic.
And, yeah, no, and that meant a lot when we were able to drop that off with Minister Orr, who's my good friend. He was a former MLA for Lacombe Ponoka.
Right.
He was the Minister of Culture, and he's the one that actually brought it to my attention that they had this.
Yeah.
So, that's how government collaborates with a community and right. identifies something that meant a lot, and you could see that by the smiling faces of Chief Adams and the rest of his people up there.
Yeah. Speaking of collaboration, it's funny, you just like dovetailed into a question that I wanted to ask. It was months ago, but we were out at an event, and we were talking about childcare in Fort McMurray, and Kayla was there, and she was talking about how you and your crew basically have helped her push the needle on getting a new form of daycare in Fort McMurray, and I think nationally what she's doing. Can you elaborate on that a little bit, please?
Absolutely, yeah. Kyla Penner, she's an innovator, her and her partner, Kate Harbin, and they had a concept for a 24-hour-a-day daycare, and which was technically illegal at the time. And,
crazy.
Right, and so they received all sorts of... they had to go through a lot of red tape, and... It was through our advocacy, once they brought it to our attention, we saw what they were providing and how much that's needed in Fort McMurray,
yeah.
not just Fort McMurray, but anywheres, that yeah. where people work night shifts, as an example.
That's right.
And as a result of that, we're able to create legislation to enable 24-hour-a-day daycare. It's the first in the nation. I know places in Ottawa and Toronto have been looking at doing something similar, but we're the first, and yeah. that's thanks to some local entrepreneurs and their initiatives, as well as our support, we're able to get that in, and
yeah.
it's a fantastic service for our community.
That blew my mind when I was chatting with you guys that evening, that this, and she came on the show afterwards, too, and spoke a little bit about it, but that was shocking to me, that, because what, like, I know Fort McMurray, definitely, we have night shifts, we work different, seven on, seven off, days, nights, split shifts, all the other, but outside of this community, you have people who work at like hardware stores or superstores stocking shelves. You have people who work at Tim Hortons night shifts. Like, there's a lot of people in this country that work night shifts.
Yeah,
when you
absolutely.
Have children, what do you do?
Absolutely. Hospitals, emergency
yeah,
services.
There we go.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of services that municipal employees who work at water treatment plants,
yeah.
whatever. Yeah, goes to show you that we can't be limited by traditional work hours,
right.
and that we need to ensure that everyone has an opportunity for a safe, compliant shelters for their children while
yeah.
they're away.
That's exactly it, man. No, that was a cool one. But listen, Tanner tapped his phone a little bit ago. That means he has his questions ready for the Max City Minute. But before we jump into that, we're going to throw it to Carrie from Patchouli Rose. Carrie, take it away.
Hey, everybody. Keith Simpson here from Neural Toyota. Just a quick chat about...
Hi, it's Carrie with Patchouli Rose Herbal Apothecary. I know our summer is coming quickly to an end. And during the summer, we always think of applying our sunscreen. But sunscreen is a product that we should be using every day of the year to protect our skin against harmful UVA and UVB rays, also against premature aging. I have a product called Dandelion Harvest, which is moisturizing, anti-inflammatory, and is great for anti-aging. You can use this every day of the year, and it's very moisturizing. If you want to check this product and any of my other products out, please go to patchoulirose.com.
And we are back. Thank you, Carrie. Appreciate your ongoing support. Tanner, hit him with the Max City Minute.
Alrighty, question number one for you today. If you could change one thing from your political past, what would you change?
Probably my decision to travel during COVID. That'd probably be something I would change.
Question number two. What is one event you did in Fort McMurray when you were younger that you hope they bring back to the city?
You know what? I like the Blueberry Festival. You know, every community has a festival of some sort, and we've seen some variations of that come back, the Eco Festival that's been up here lately. Certainly, if we could have that around the time of the Blueberry Festival and brand it as such, I think that'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
Question number three. What do you think is the best dish at a holiday meal?
Nice question.
The best dish at a holiday meal?
Yeah.
Well, I like a classic turkey dinner as an example with the stuffing and the mashed potatoes and gravy, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, what's the best dish there, though? Like, if you had to pick one dish from that meal.
Oh, well, you know, the turkey itself.
There we go.
Question number four. If you could meet any politician, past or present, who would you want to meet?
Oh, my goodness. You know what? Sir John A. Macdonald would be certainly one that, you know, he's the father of our Confederation. He's the one who built our nation. And I think we have him and a lot of people in that era a lot to thank for because they had the foresight to develop a nation, the nation that we see today. You know, if you look at other nations, it could have gone a very different way.
That's right.
And your final question, what is one thing you think you and your political...
One thing that we all share in common community, and they want what's best for their communities.
And those have been your five questions.
Speaking of community, you've been here for a long, long, long time.
Yes, sir. My family came here in the late 70s, 77 to be exact.
And so you didn't initially strive to be in politics. You had a different career path, completely.
So that's
what
correct. Were you in prior to? I became a paramedic. My family is all medical based, so my father was a physician, my mother is a nurse. You know, my brother became a doctor, another sister became a pharmacist.
Yeah.
At one point, there's 14 physicians in the family.
Yeah.
But I chose the paramedicine route, and I worked for a local fire department as a paramedic firefighter.
That's right. So what was that like, those experiences? Were you able to get in helicopters? Were you primarily in the trucks? Like, what was your experience like?
You know what? I grasped at any education that we had. So I did everything from the forestry firefighting that we did because we have a big wildland urban interface here to flying in the helicopters as a paramedic. I worked on the fire trucks. I knew how to operate a fire truck. So I was a pump operator. And eventually, I went into the administrative side, but it was a fantastic job. It requires high-level maturity. Experienced a lot, negative and positive, but it was overall positive.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those careers where you do see a lot, and you have to help out a lot, and, like, the situations you're put in are life and death. I have a lot of friends who do it. It's definitely a stressful type of career choice. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. Sure.
So speaking of helicopters, I know for a long time you've been an advocate and helping and speaking about the helicopter program that we have up here.
Absolutely. The HERO program with Phoenix Helicopters. Paul Spring and his wife Andrea are wonderful advocates for our community.
Yeah.
They provide so much. That service has provided a huge safety net for a community, and they, quite honestly, they've saved a lot of lives.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, I'm horrible at math, but you went to high school here in Fort McMurray, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so me and Tanner have a question for people who went to high school here. We're going to ask it right now. I already think I have a feeling where you went, but anyways, what high school did you go to?
I went to Compsut High.
I knew it. Yeah. I knew it. That's awesome for Tanner, not so good for me. So I went to Merck, Tanner went to Comp, and for a while there I was winning the race. Like, it seemed like we were having more Merck grads, but you were definitely part of the crew that's tipping the scales the other side.
Yeah, no, former mayor Melissa Blake.
Melissa Blake went to Comp too?
Current MLA Brian Jean went there. You know, there's a lot of good people that have come through there.
First round draft picks.
First round draft picks.
First yeah. overall draft picks.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are we talking about here, man?
I love it. Yeah. I love it. You're too funny, Tanner. So now the election is coming up in a few weeks. So what does that look like for you?
Just it's a big campaign. So I'm knocking on doors, trying to talk to people individually. Yeah. We're putting up signs, as you mentioned earlier, again, just trying to bring attention to the fact that we are running in this community.
Yeah.
Fort McMurray is a hard place for to do politics because people are so busy working up here that they tend not to have that much time. So
right.
The volunteers that we get compared to other communities is far less than what you would see.
Yeah. So you physically have to get out there and do work.
Yeah, and that's fine, right? Yeah. So, but it's important to just do as much outreach as possible. And yeah, we tend to do it with less help.
Yeah. So when you're door knocking, like I've had to do it before. I used to, when I was a kid, I would do census and you would knock on the door, ask how many people are there. It's nerve wracking and you don't know what's coming at you when that person opens the door. How has that experience over the years been for you?
You know, that one's mixed. You know what? Definitely there's a lot of people that support and recognize me and say kind words, but you also get a lot of people who outright swear at you. They take a run at you. Believe it or not, they shout vulgarities at you. It can be pretty bad. It's very polarizing.
That's right. And so how do you mentally prepare and deal with that? Because that's tough.
Yeah, no, you just have to learn to walk away from those people that are being belligerent, and which seems to get them even angrier, but, you know, you don't want to engage those people.
Quite that's honestly. Right.
And but again, most people are usually civil
and
are willing to even ask you and debate some of the issues, and right. we'll take the time to do that for
nice,
sure.
Nice. Now, since you've been doing that, what would you say the overall temperature of Fort McMurray is? Like, how are things moving?
I think overall, people are fairly positive. I'm getting a lot of support at the doors. I'm really happy about that. They recognize me. They know that I have done good work here in this community. So I'm really thankful that people are paying attention, and they want to see myself and my party win because they know that we're fighting the good fight. That we're here to support our industries. We're trying to support northern rural communities like Fort McMurray, and that they're fairly confident that we'll do well.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Well, listen, we're coming to the end of our show, but before we cut our guests loose, everybody gets a shameless shout out or plug. So you have the mic, the camera, the lights. Have fun.
Well, I just want to hope that everyone gets out and votes, and I hope everyone recognizes some of the good work that I've done, including getting the residency program back here at the hospital, which means we'll be training resident physicians here in town.
That's awesome. Those
expanding things like the nursing and paramedic programs at Keanu College. Those are some of the things that we're trying to do, that I'm trying to do, that will hopefully make Fort McMurray more livable and make it more of a desirable place for people to work. And hopefully we can attract some of those people that commute to the camps and get them to live here in town.
Awesome, man. Well, everybody out there, get out and vote at this next election. Your voice is powerful. So outside of that, I want to thank everybody at home for tuning in. It does mean the world to me. Big shout out to our title sponsor, Noral Toyota, as well as Carrie from Patchouli Rose. Thank you both for your ongoing support. Hope everybody at home is having a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. Peace.